Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat, or just because they're a Republican, and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for your benefit, and we are going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to ask them questions. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to be discussing education system, the military, science, music, sports, oh, and healthcare. Do you have it? Do you need it? Are your 26-year-olds still on the family health care plan? Or, as the regressive party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word. And everything from the cities, counties, state, nation, the entire world. So sit down and get a pencil, paper, and take this graduate education experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
Well, there's the weather, of course, when it's in season.
Now, Mars, I need some ideas if I'm going to get your town out of the serious trouble it's in.
River City ain't in any trouble.
But I have to create some. Must create a desperate need in your town for a boys' band. So why does everybody keep rubbering into the billiard parlor?
Oh, they just got in a new pool table.
They must have seen a pool table before.
No, just billiards.
That'll do it. You just sit where you are, and remember, if you see that music teacher...
Are you Mr. Dunlop?
Yeah? Well, either you're closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool table in your community. Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help me cultivate horse sense and a cool head and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to give an ironclad leave to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a bop-line game, I say that any boob can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. I say first, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit and listening to some big out-of-town Jasper, hearing him tell about horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they set down right on the horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy setting on Dan Patch? Make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets in a table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum, with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. And all week long, your River City youth will be frittering away. I say your young men will be frittering. Frittering away there noontime, supper time, chore time too. Get the ball in the pocket. Never mind getting dandelions pulled or the screen door patched or the beefsteak pounded. Never mind pumping any water till your parents are caught with a cistern empty on a Saturday night, and that's trouble. Yes, you got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking of the kids in the Knickerbocker, shirt-tail young ones, peeking in the pool hall window after school. You got trouble, folks, right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. I'm going to be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while they're loafing around that hall? They've been trying out Bevo, trying out Cubabs, trying out TaylorMade's like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're going to cover up a telltale breath with Sansan one fine night. They leave the pool hall, heading for the dance at the armory, libertine men and scarlet women, and ragtime, shameless music that'll grab your son, your daughter, with the arms of a jungle, animal instinct, mass hysteria. Friends, the idle brain, the devil's playground, trouble!
Oh, yes, oh.
Right here in River City.
Right here,
with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. We surely got trouble. Right here in River City. Gotta figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school. Mothers of River City, heed that warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. The minute your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knee? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger? A dime novel hidden in the corn crib? Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cap'n Billy's whiz-bang? Are certain words creeping into his conversation? Words like swell. Aha, and so's your old man. But if so, my friends, you got trouble.
Oh, yes, no.
Right here in River City.
Right here in City.
With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
We've
surely got trouble. Right here in River City.
Right here.
Remember the Maine, Plymouth Rock, and the Golden Rule. We got trouble. We're in terrible, terrible trouble. That game with the 15 numbered balls is the devil's tool.
Devil's
tool. Oh, yes, we got trouble, trouble, trouble.
Oh, yes, we got trouble. We've got big, big trouble.
With a T.
With a capital T.
That rhymes with P.
That rhymes with P.
Stands for pool.
That stands for pool.
Remember, my friends, listen to me, because I passed this way but once.
Well, it is the weather, of course, when it's in season.
Now, Mars, I need some ideas if I'm going to get your town out of the serious trouble it's in.
River City ain't in any trouble.
Well, then I have to create some. Must create a desperate need in your town for a boys band. So why does everybody keep rubbering into the billiard parlor?
Oh, they just got in a new pool table.
They must have seen a pool table before.
No, just billiards.
That'll do it. You just sit where you are, and remember, if you see that music teacher...
Are you Mr. Dunlop?
Yeah?
Well, either you're closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool table in your community. Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help me cultivate horse sense and a cool head and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to give an ironclad leave to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a bop-line game, I say that any boob can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. I say first, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit. And listening to some big out-of-town Jasper, hearing him tell about horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they set down right on the horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy setting on Dan Patch? Make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets in a table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. And all week long, your River City youth will be frittering away. I say your young men will be frittering. Frittering away there noontime, supper time, chore time too. Get the ball in the pocket. Never mind getting dandelions pulled or the screen door patched or the beefsteak pounded. Never mind pumping any water till your parents are caught with a cistern empty on a Saturday night, and that's trouble. Yes, you got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking of the kids in the Knickerbocker, shirt-tail young ones, peeking in the pool hall window after school. You got trouble, folks, right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. I'm going to be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while they're loafing around that hall? They have been trying out Bevo, trying out Cubabs, trying out TaylorMades like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're going to cover up a telltale breath with Sansan one fine night. They leave the pool hall, heading for the dance at the armory, libertine men and scarlet women, and ragtime, shameless music that'll grab your son, your daughter, with the arms of a jungle, animal instinct, masteria. Friends, the idle brain is the devil's playground. Trouble!
Oh, yes, oh.
Right here in River City.
Right here in
with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for
pool.
We surely got trouble. Right here in River City.
Right,
gotta figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school. Mothers of River City, heed that warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. The minute your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knee? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger? A dime novel hidden in the corn crib? Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cap'n Billy's whiz-bang? Are certain words creeping into his conversation? Words like swell. Aha, and so's your old man. But if so, my friends, you got trouble. Right here in River City. With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. We surely got
trouble.
Right here in River City. Remember the Maine, Plymouth Rock, and the Golden Rule. Oh, we got trouble. We're in terrible, terrible trouble. That game with the 15 numbered balls is the devil's tool.
Devil's tool.
Oh, yes, we got trouble, trouble, trouble.
Oh, yes, we got trouble. Big, big, big trouble.
With a T.
With a capital T.
Gonna rhyme it with P.
That rhymes with P.
It stands for pool.
That
remember, my friends, listen to me because I passed this way but once.
I had to play that twice because Liz Smith and Adam Kissinger got trouble in River City. Oh, yeah. Their states, two states, their GOP party has censured them. See, they want to kick them out of the party. But you can't kick anybody out of a party. You can't tell them you can't join this party. You can't do it. And suppose they went over to the Democratic side. If they went over to the Democratic side, Democrats would have another senator on their side to vote. Then they'd be in deep, deep doo-doo. So these people are just completely, they're following Trump. Trump, they're following him, and you see where it's leading. Nowhere but the tubes. That's where it's going. Down the tubes. Actually deepening and deepening and deepening their ability to make sense. They just can't. They can't go down any further. But you see, they can't come up because if they come up, it would take them another 10 years. And then they have to get their head shot off. But you know, they wouldn't get their head shot off. They would never come back. They'd go down steps so far down this rabbit hole that they just can't see nothing but the dark. They're used to the dark now. That's the problem. They're used to the dark now. So why would they go down any further? Couldn't go down any further. They are completely bonkers. They have gone down the rabbit hole following this orange man with the funny head and hair. That's who they're following. They're following him. And they have now have no other place to go but straight on down until they come on the other side of the earth. But you know what they have to do if they do that? They got to go through hell. That's right.
We cannot both embrace the big lie and embrace the Constitution.
I've never lost an election. He has. He's the only loser in that mix.
I will do everything I can to ensure that the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office.
And we're trying to grab onto him as if he's somehow the ticket to the future, and he is instead obsessed with the fact that he lost again at something.
We cannot be dragged backward by the very dangerous lies of a former president.
That's what the story is. They can't be turned around on someone who has lost their mind. Can't be turned down. But that's just the way it is. They're not going to be able to answer. They're not going to follow this man because, as they were saying before, they keep going and keep going and keep going. They're going to run into a whole bunch of fire. That's what's going to happen. This Trumpian bull that they have been on has been such nonsense that they just cannot follow any further. They can't do it. These two, Kinzinger and Cheney, will not follow him any longer. These are the people who said, look, you're on this safari like the people in the jungle. We're on the safari. Remember when they went to, they got off the boat and they went to see, to find King Kong. Some of the guys said, hey, look, okay, it's been now. So I don't know what happened. I was blinking. I just saw it. My mic was blinking. That's why I'm going to change. I'm getting these new headsets, so I'll be on loud and clear all the time. Anyway, I don't know where it went. It started blinking, so I don't know where I'm at or where I was. But anyway, I played that song right here in River City because that's about Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger. And Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger. Because the GOP has just voted to censure them. A lot of good that's going to do. They can't throw them out of the party. They're still GOP members. Even though there is no more party. And you just have some stragglers that are GOP members, who I don't understand why they don't get together as one, because they are even afraid that this man will run somebody up against them. Well, his people are not going to win, and the people he runs against are not going to beat the Democrats. So let's see. Let's listen. You guys have made enough money. You guys have made enough money, and you can take some time off now. Let the fool, the orange man who was in the White House, throw some dumbbell up against you and see how he does. And if he loses, hey, you say, hey, I told you. And if he wins, well, let's see how long he lasts. Because Uncle Donald is going down. He may not be in jail, but he's going to lose every single piece, every dime that he's ever owned. He's going to lose it. And what's going to happen is that when he loses it, he's not going to blame anybody but all of you that voted for him, because you're the ones that didn't put in enough money. You're the ones that didn't save him from losing his Trump organization, because he's going to lose that, because the Attorney General, Letitia James in New York, and the new SDNY person in New York are going to take every single dime he's ever possessed, or possesses now, because you can't take what he spent. I wish the hell they could. But the thing is that they're going to do that. Letitia James has already taken away his foundation, taken away his water, taken away his crummy university. All it was a gimmick that he used to funnel in money in and out of his own personal account. He never did anything for that. He never had a school where you went there actually were taught by teachers. You were taught by other flunkies like himself. That's why it was a fraud. Why some of you people need to understand. A fraud is a fraud. The man, he'd sell you the Brooklyn Bridge 15 times over if he thinks you're stupid enough. And we have stupid people. I'm sorry, I can't go along with it. They are stupid. You know why they're stupid? Because most of these people have dug the deepest hole that they ever imagined and are afraid to come out. Like Pussitoni's Phil comes out once a year and sees a shot, he runs back in. These people are afraid because they definitely will see their shadow. They will see their shadow. But this man, and then who else can we, oh, we talk about that guy, Kennedy. Now, you know he don't talk like that. The man's a college graduate. I think he went to London. He went to the, I forgot what school in London. He speaks perfect English. But can you imagine, and then that stupid fool Cruz, he said, out of 330 million, they had to pick this person. Well, there ain't 330 million that vote. If them are kids, you can't count the kids. That's how stupid it is. Before, around the 1900s, they took people from every place that didn't have hardly any education. They had people that graduated from high school, graduated from little-known colleges. They didn't go to the Ivy League colleges or the prestigious colleges. They took people from all over. But as they got on and on and on in age, from 1900 all the way up, they started shrinking that place where you get these Supreme Court justices from. They shrunk it. They shrunk it down. Where you only got people from their ilk, who they wanted, not who was best for the country and would give a fair hearing on different legislation and different hearings. They didn't want to hear that no more. They wanted what they wanted to hear. And you know what hell they put up to prevent the first black man to get on the Supreme Court? Huh, unbelievable. And now Cruz says, well, it's all 330 million people, and this is what they got. Bullshit. And that other fool, Kennedy, he says, well, we want somebody that knows better than a what's the name? A cruise catalog. Who can read a cruise catalog? Come on, give me a break. Give me a break. I'll bet you that freaking last two people they put on there can't read the cruise catalog. They already cataloged the last woman who was read was How to Have Babies. That's all she read. So, you know, we're talking about now this black women who the GOP is definitely afraid of. They're afraid of one black woman coming on the Supreme Court? Well, you know what? The United States of America is not all white. It's all white when you say yes, when you count people. But the thing is that they are getting darker. It's becoming the minority will become the majority, will become the majority by 2045. What are they going to say then? By 2045, they need to have more than one black person on the Supreme Court, because that will reflect the country. But these guys will be dead or gone. They don't care. That's what they want now. And that's what the red menace wants now, the orange menace wants now. He said, look, as long as I'm alive, this is what I want. And you can bet your last dollar that push comes to shove, he will sell his kids, and includes Ivanka, out. We're going to see how long it takes for her to come for an interview between the one to me before they have to subpoena her. Let's see how long it takes. Back to the Supreme Court. Here's what Lawrence O'Donnell said about this Supreme Court judging.
We can hope that does not become one of those Lindsey Graham videos that we show you when he completely reverses his position on all of that. Lindsey Graham said that before Donald Trump started calling him a rhino this week, because Lindsey Graham said that it was inappropriate for Donald Trump to promise to pardon the January 6th insurrectionists if he ever wins back presidential powers. And so it remains to be seen how Lindsey Graham will vote in the Judiciary Committee or on the Senate floor. Republican Senator Kennedy of Louisiana yesterday tried to insult all of the women President Biden is considering for the Supreme Court when he said this. Number one, I want a nominee who knows a law book from a J. Crew catalog. Number two, I want a nominee who's not going to try to rewrite the Constitution every other Thursday to try to advance a woke agenda. Now, taken literally, as I was just saying to Rachel, that means that Senator Kennedy will vote to confirm any Biden nominee because, like me, they all meet those qualifications that he just described.
Do they all meet those qualifications? Yes, they do. They meet all those qualifications. They meet all those qualifications. So what's he going to say? What is this fool going to say? And this this clown from where the hell he's from? Louisiana. That's where he's from. That's where he's from. He's a lawyer. And he has served the United States Senate since 2017. Of course, this is when they were all trying to get the GOP was trying to get all these clowns on the in politics. So to think that this man is a uneducated man and doesn't know right from wrong is wrong. He graduated from Charlottesville, Virginia Law School, and earned a Bachelor of Civil Law degree at Oxford University. So he's no freaking dumb, because he didn't talk like that when he was over there. They would have laughed his butt right on out of the place. But to say that he wants someone who can read better, who can read better than what's in a J. Cruz catalog, it's just outrageous. It's just outrageous. These guys are just going from pillar to post. They have no idea what they are saying. None. They just talk their butts off. All they do is talk their butts off. That's all they do. Talk their butts off. And they're trying to keep all you daggone racists on their side. That's all. Want to keep all you racists on their side. And if they can't, I don't know what they're going to do. What would you think they would do? I just don't know. I just don't want... It's just so unbelievable, some of the things that these fools say. I want Biden judge, Supreme Court nominee to know a law better, a law book better from a J. Cruz catalog. Are you kidding me? This is what the man said. Are you kidding me? And that because Biden promised to get a black woman on the Supreme Court. I mean, this started back with Ronnie. He promised to get a woman on the Supreme Court. They were almost like that then. Matter of fact, they probably were. And according to the Political Playbook report, on a private Senate Republican luncheon Tuesday, it was noted that Kennedy, who sits on the judiciary, didn't exactly tap down his rhetoric while discussing whether it was counterproductive for the GOP to battle against Biden's SCOTUS nominee. I want a nominee who knows a law book better from a J. Cruz catalog. I want a nominee who's not going to try to rewrite the Constitution every other Thursday to try to advance a woke agenda. What the hell does woke mean? I mean, what, you sleeping? Is that what it means? I have no idea what that man means. I don't think he knows. Everybody starts using words that they hear, goes, oh, it creates a lot of attention. Let me use that word too. Well, he's a dead-born Oxford graduate. Why the hell do you have to follow along with what anybody else does? I mean, why would you? He was asked about how he squared that language with the GOP leader. Said the GOP leader says, "I think some members of leadership think they can control what control." Let me put this over here again. Let me see if I can get it a little further. I can't get it over. What? No, let me go back to it. Yeah, go back to it. Come on. Okay, they're going to bring it up here. Why can't I? This must be up here. I'm trying to enlarge it. You can recipe. Age reasons, but nope, that's the wrong one too. So let me get back. Why? Let me see if it come up. It's please. I'm trying to get what this man said. Now I'm going to freaking J. Crew catalog. I'm going to the J. Crew catalog. I don't want to wear a J. Crew catalog. Oh, God. Yeah. I read all that. Okay. His remarks drew backlash on Twitter. News broke on Wednesday, leading the J. Crew to 10 in the afternoon as readers discussed what they thought Kennedy meant by those words. They started looking up at J. Crew. Maybe Sonny found something. And J. Crew said he was talking about. Come on. Why do people cannot stop being stupid? He told, this is what Kennedy told CNN. So he told CNN last month that I want a judge who understands that a bill of rights is not a a la carte menu. I want a judge who will not try to rewrite the Constitution every other Thursday to advance political agenda. How about every other Tuesday? When asked about Biden's intention to pick a black woman for a seat, in particular, he said, I'm not going to judge the nominee on his or her qualifications on the basis of the criteria I just gave. So he's going to judge the nominee on, he's not going to judge him on his or her qualifications, but he's going to judge him on whether or not they read a J. Crew catalog. Are you kidding me? I'm going to judge the nominee on his or her qualifications. Well, both they read J. Crew catalog every day. I should not be, it should be noted that Kennedy has uttered variations of both the J. Crew and the rewriting of the Constitution phrases several times before. In 2019, for example, he discussed whether then President Donald Trump had the authority to declare a national emergency over the border wall. Kennedy told Fox News past presidents have used the National Emergency Act 60 times. And nobody, let's go down here, and nobody knows a L.L. Bean catalog from a new book knows. And me, ultimately, the Senate Supreme Court will give us guidance on this. President, I've used the National Emergency Act 60 times. Anybody who knows an L.L. Bean catalog from a law book knows, ultimately, the U.S. Supreme Court will give us guidance on that. Let's see what he said here. Thank you, please. Everybody can hear that. Let's see here. If I don't. No, I guess you can't hear that. I thought you could. Let me do this. Uh-oh. It's big. All right. Well, I thought that you all were here what this fool was saying. And if I copy it, let's see if I can put it up here. No, I can't do that. So you can't hear this fool do his talking because he was a, well, fool. Anyway, let me get that here. No, I have him on this. See, it's got to go into the studio first, but a lot of these who go into the studio don't go directly to a screen into the studio, and I'm doing this by myself the last couple of weeks. I'm trying to figure out how I could get the I make copy video address, so I don't know how I do that. This is the video address. Maybe this is what it is. Copy. New tab. I have no idea. No. All right. I could not do it. And it's a woke thing. I can't do it. I save the link. And I'll copy that one and save the link. And save link, right. Save link, right. So I don't know how it can be done, but I'm going to see how it can be done for next time. But he was doing a lot of talking about this nonsense, and which is complete nonsense. I mean, they had black women, these races have black women in their houses to clean for them, to take care of them when they were sick, to feed them, to feed their kids, to be in charge of the horses and the cows, to have someone to give the man who's in charge of the horses and the cows to tell them what to do when he was gone. And then they came home and got in bed with him and had babies with him. So this is nonsense. We can't have these. We can't have anybody that reads a Cruz catalog on the Supreme Court. You can't have anybody that had a plantation on the Supreme Court because they didn't know shit. And I'm tired. I'm sorry I'm cursing, but, you know, it's outrageous how these people have gone so far down the tubes. These individuals have really gone down the tubes. They really have. And it's just outrageous. It's really outrageous. Well, there was a I wanted to get something on the boat that Big Man owns. Breaking news from VP on a role in election subversion effort. He's given some information on it now. Yeah, the Mr. Pence. Maybe he wants to run for president. How about that? Former vice president on role in election subversion effort. Now, we know he didn't go through with it. Even he could not go through with it. When he had his president, because he really wasn't the president. Pence was more the president. All this man did was sit up there, just like when he was in his office. He never ran that company. He only said, kill him, hang him, okay, we'll take him. But he didn't run the company. He had people to run the company. He didn't even know what it was to run a company. Never knew what it is to run a company. So that's the problem we have. And now you got somebody else just like him in a, well, I shouldn't say just like him. And now he says, I had no right to overturn the 2020 election. This is what Ben says. This is going to be a major deal. This is going to be a major deal. And that's what he said. Uh-oh. This is going to be a big deal. Woo. I don't know if anybody can hear it. Woo. He said, this is something. of this.
Opening there. I don't know if it's
Mr. Pence has come on and said that he had no right to cancel those ballots that were on the for the electors. He had no right and no way legal right to do anything like that. How about them apples? And Caldwell said that the South Carolinian told him the same thing, Mr. Graham. So both of them have now, Graham and Pence have said, no way, we don't have any right to do that. That means this whole thing 1-6 committee has, these people are in deep trouble. And Pence's people told the truth, which I believe they did, about what went on during that time, because Pence's first chief of staff was in the White House when Trump sat there for 187 minutes and did nothing. So I believe we're going to definitely be involved in a major problem with these fools in the next. We got to see what is there anything on the internet yet? And I don't see anything yet. So that's it. I don't see anything yet. So we'll see. I'm sure there will be. This is almost the top of the hour, so they're probably putting it all together. That's what it is. They're probably putting everything together. But, I mean, that's a big problem. A big problem. But anyway, let's go back to our regularly scheduled program. And, all right. Now, we have a major problem with Russia now, which I thought at one time they were definitely coming across the line. And I'm now in a position where I don't believe, even though they have 100,000, more than 100,000 troops on the border of Ukraine, if they're really going to invade. The problem is, I learned today that Putin was sitting with the head of China at the ice capades, whatever they are, the Winter Olympics, and they're in deep discussion. China don't want a war. Because if Russia goes into a war, that will affect China in a massive way. We know that. The Chinese know that. But whether or not Russia gives a damn is another story. Putin is the richest man in the world. Because he stole all the money from his country. But whether or not we can afford to have a situation where he is going to do whatever he wants, whatever he wants, is another major problem. We can't afford that. China can't afford that. So we will prevent him from doing that. Now, there was something that was said with Alicia Melendez the other day, which I think you know to hear about these I don't know. Let's see here. I have nothing there, so we got it there. Okay. Now, I'll get this for this, and I will... Where's Melissa? Oh, here she is. Okay. I want to play something for Melissa Melendez, which made complete sense. I believe up to what, and I'll tell you what I disagree with later, but listen to this.
Breaking today, the leader of ISIS is dead. It happened in a U.S. military operation, a raid in Syria, with no losses to U.S. Special Forces. Pentagon officials saying Abu al-Qureshi set off a suicide bomb, blowing himself up along with his wife and two children. The Pentagon also reporting a senior deputy and his wife were killed after attacking U.S. forces. At least 13 bodies were found in the rubble, including six children and four women. President Biden seen in the Situation Room watching the operation live with the vice president and his national security team. Here was Biden after the mission.
Knowing that this terrorist had chosen to surround himself with families, including children, we made a choice to pursue a special forces raid at a much greater risk than our own people, rather than targeting him with an airstrike.
U.S. forces reportedly clashed with gunmen for 2 hours before the explosion. Al-Qureshi led ISIS for 3 years, carrying out numerous attacks in Syria, including an assault last month on a prison containing ISIS detainees.
This operation is testament to America's reach and capability to take out terrorist threats no matter where they try to hide anywhere in the world. Last night's operation took a major terrorist leader off the battlefield and has sent a strong message to terrorists around the world. We will come after you and find you.
Joining me now, New York Times Pentagon correspondent Helene Cooper. Helene, what is the significance of this operation?
Hi, thanks for having me. This operation is a big deal. The fact that President Biden sent in commandos, that's something that in the past, you know, we do that. We did that for Baghdadi. We did it for Osama bin Laden. We do that for specific high-value targets, but it's a big risk. It means that you're risking American lives, you're putting American lives on the line. And given the type of time we're in right now, in the middle of a crisis with Russia, if anything had gone wrong, President Biden and the Pentagon would look horrible, and you can imagine what we'd be reporting right now. So this was a very risky operation. The fact that they were on the ground for 2 hours is an eternity in these sorts of operations. So that was also a pretty big deal. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby said today that it was always planned to be a 2 hour long operation. That's something I'm dying to dig into a little bit more because it does seem like a long time to be there. They do think that they got some material, that they vacuumed up some intel. So that's probably one of the things they were doing. But for long term, you know, this shows the United States, the Biden administration, the Pentagon will argue that this shows that the life expectancy of an ISIS leader, but particularly an ISIS deputy leader, because they took out his deputy as well, is a short one. This came at a time that ISIS starting to reconstitute, I'm sure the group is not going to go away. You're going to see they're going to find somebody else to meet them. There's probably somebody in place now, but it is a message from the Biden administration that they're still willing, that President Biden, even though he pulled troops out of Afghanistan and he's seen a little bit as something of a dove, is still going to be willing to send in American assets to take people out. But it also, I think, sends a message to the world and Vladimir Putin of United States military might at a time where we have a spiraling crisis with Russia.
Right, Helene, let me ask you about that, turning to Ukraine. The Pentagon revealing an absolutely
insane report, Russia has a plan to stage attack as pretext for Ukraine invasion. The plot involves the release of a video, the official says, that would accuse Ukraine of conducting a genocide against Russian speakers. It includes the stage aftermath of an explosion, as well as footage of destroyed locations with images of corpses and faked Ukrainian military equipment. What more can you tell us, Aline?
It's a crazy story. They're declassifying stuff right now, left and right. This is information warfare that we're seeing right now. Normally that kind of stuff would be classified because the administration would not want to input any of their intelligence people on any of their intelligence sources under threat. But they're declassifying things right now at such a speedy rate, and that's because they're trying to expose everything that Russia could even think about doing or is considering doing before they can do it. They're trying to take options off the table for Vladimir Putin. The story itself, the idea of the Russians hiring actors to pose as bereaved family members, it's surreal, but it's also very much the state of warfare today, you know, in 2022, when so much of this stuff is, there's so much fake stuff that's out there. There's so much stage warcraft that's out there. And they're saying right now that they, you know, that this is another warning to Mr. Putin that the United States is aware of what he is planning at the same time that we see the Russia folk in the U.N.
Let me ask you, Aline, I've got about 30 seconds before I got to hand this off to Joy, but I do want to get this in. Senators were briefed today, 3,000 U.S. troops deployed to Europe, the administration calling it not permanent. Only a few seconds left, but where is this going?
I don't know. You know, are we going back to another Cold War? I think we're already there. Nobody wants a hot war with Russia. I don't think we're headed in that direction, but we're in a very dangerous time right now.
Aline Cooper, I appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you for bringing us your reporting. That does it for me. I'm going to see you back here tomorrow. Remember, you can always catch me on American Voices. That is weekends, Saturdays, and Sundays, 6 to 8 p.m.
No. What is going on here? I lost everything? All right, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what happened here, but I lost sound. I hope I'm back up now. I don't know what happened. I'm looking here, and I can't see my sound indicator. It just came up. All right, so now we have backup. All right, I don't know what happened, ladies and gentlemen. We lost for at least 10 minutes the sound. And we were playing what Alicia Miranda said about Russia, but there's also some other things that was said that Lawrence had a quote about Donald Trump. This is really funny. Listen to this.
Internal Facebook documents released by whistleblower Francis Haugen revealed this message from a Facebook employee posted on January 6th as the violent insurrection was underway at the Capitol. Never forget the day Trump rode down the escalator in 2015, called for a ban on Muslims entering the U.S., and we determined that it violated our policies, and yet we explicitly overrode the policy and didn't take the video down. There is a straight line that can be drawn from that day to today, one of the darkest days in the history of democracy and self-governance. History will not judge us kindly.
History will not judge the GOP kindly for what they brought into this country. They will not judge them kindly. Now, there was something that I was playing last week, and I don't think I played the whole thing. Rachel Maddow and her I think it was about Ron DeSantis. And, about the doctor, Ron DeSantis, and the doctor, Judge Dr. Libido. How far these two people, who now are in your company, in your organization, the GOP, as long as it has lasted, since the GOP left, what they have done, they have turned the healthcare system completely around. Cheney, breaking news, has just come out and said, I do not recognize those in my party who have abandoned the Constitution to embrace Trump. You know, this fist fight is going to break out very shortly, but let's get into this thing that it was Rachel Maddow, and I just love to play this for you so you get the whole thing, because I don't think everybody heard the whole thing last week. But as I was saying, libido and this man, he was one of the clowns that the were up there and getting rid of, who got in, wore the white coat of doctors. And got in front of the public and said that he and these people don't believe in this outrageous. I think I can get it. This outrageous talk about COVID and everybody needs a shot. Nobody needs vaccines. That's the reason why DeSantis chose this doctor, because he was also black, to choose him. And this Dr. Libido, he said that he was on the committee at I forgot what hospital it was in California, one of the major hospitals there, that first went and diagnosed that the COVID vaccine was not the cure, was not anything, did anything, did nothing for the helping the way the vaccine was, I can't even get my words together. But libido was, if you remember, back last year, there was about 15 doctors that came out in front of their hospital with their white doctor gowns on, with their white, whatever you call those things that they wear. They identify them with doctors, with the pockets. And he was the one that was doing the talking. And he said that the vaccine will not help us. Well, this is the story behind that. And I believe that, if I can get it up here, this is what Rachel has said about it. And I hope I can get the thing up here. Well, I can't play it. I don't know. I don't know why. But I'm trying to see if I can go through it. Let's see. Nope, I can't do it. Oh, there it is. Let's see here. Get rid of it there. Get rid of that. Ah. No, I can't. I can't. It's sitting.
But we start tonight in the summer of 2020. But we start tonight in the summer of 2020, the first summer in which we were dealing with the ravages of the COVID epidemic. In a sort of press conference stunt, the summer of 2020, a bunch of people got up on the steps of the United States Supreme Court and they gave a press conference. They wore white doctor's coats. The coats all had embroidered on them a little logo, America's Frontline Doctors. The point of that stunt that day was to tell the American people from this sort of official-looking group, or at least sort of medical-looking group, that actually COVID is no big deal. You definitely don't need to stay socially distanced from anybody else. Businesses don't need to close. Schools don't need to close. Nobody needs to make any accommodation in their lives for it. You definitely don't need to wear a mask. None of those things will keep you from getting COVID. Everybody is lying to you, and they tell you that those things will abate the risk of COVID. And besides, even if you do get COVID, it's no big deal because secretly, the government doesn't want you to know this, but there's a cure for COVID. Just take this anti-malaria drug, hydroxychloroquine, and maybe also some zinc, and that's the cure. The government doesn't want you to know there's a cure. The whole COVID thing is a hoax. Don't be a sheeple, people. It's all fine. That was a weird event in the summer of 2020. One of the America's Frontline Doctors speakers at that event is also known for her passionate claims that if you have ovarian cysts, that's because you've been having sex with demons in your sleep, which you really should stop doing. Because once you stop having sex with demons in your sleep, that will fix your ovaries right up. Also, generally, she says you should not trust Western medicine at all because Western medicine is all based on DNA from space aliens. That said, white coat, and she says she's a frontline doctor, so she must know what she's talking about, ish. I mean, can you disprove the sex with demons thing? Can you? Congress has since opened an investigation into America's frontline doctors, not because of that Supreme Court stunt, that weird press conference, but because after that, they appear to have morphed into a hard sell online grifter outfit where they set up what appear to be bogus telemedicine appointments during which these doctors would market to you and then prescribe to you another fake COVID cure, the anti-parasite drug ivermectin, which appears to have no utility against COVID whatsoever. The group would take a hefty cut of the proceeds for their trouble. They appear to have made potentially millions of dollars in their hard sell on ivermectin telemedicine appointments. For all the COVID grifts and all the nonsense associated with this group, you might expect a congressional investigation, potentially a law enforcement investigation as well. You might not expect the leader of a state with one of the highest body counts from COVID to look to someone from that group to become the top health official in the state. You wouldn't expect that. But behold, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, that is exactly what he has done. A few months ago, Ron DeSantis chose this guy, a doctor named Joseph Latipo, seen here at the 2020 America's Frontline Doctors event outside the Supreme Court. Governor DeSantis chose him to be the new Surgeon General of Florida. Despite, like, this. Dr. Latipo apparently endeared himself to Ron DeSantis with appearances not only like that one, but also appearances in conservative media, also a series of op-eds, where he said that, you know, COVID isn't so bad and you definitely shouldn't, like, wear a mask to try to avoid getting it. Since becoming Surgeon General of Florida, Dr. Latipo has done press conferences with Governor DeSantis where he has ominously questioned the safety of the vaccines, essentially encouraging people that they shouldn't get them because they're so dangerous. He also earned himself a brief moment of notoriety in the press for refusing to personally himself wear a mask while he was in a meeting with a state senator who had just been diagnosed with cancer. She asked him to please put on a mask because of her serious medical condition. He refused. But one of the ways Dr. Latipo rose to prominence in conservative media circles and ultimately to this top medical post in Florida that Governor DeSantis put him in was in large part on the basis of him staking his credibility on being a frontline doctor. In his conservative media appearances, in his op-eds, he presented himself as a frontline doctor who spent time as a physician treating many, many, many COVID patients. And so his expertise in this matter was born out of, you know, the hard work that he had experienced with all his experience treating patients with COVID-19. Well, we reported exclusively here a couple of months ago on evidence that called those claims into question. Dr. Latipo wrote two op-eds in national newspapers in 2020 claiming that he had spent time taking care of COVID patients, specifically at UCLA's flagship hospital. This caught the attention of people who really did work at UCLA's hospital treating COVID patients. Multiple people who worked at UCLA's hospital at the same time as Dr. Latipo said that he was misleading the public about his experience treating COVID patients there. A member of the team treating COVID patients at UCLA told us that Dr. Latipo was not part of that team. We also obtained scheduling documents from the time Dr. Latipo was working at UCLA. Those documents did not show Dr. Latipo scheduled to take care of COVID patients at all. We contacted the Florida Department of Health seeking comment from Dr. Latipo multiple times when we first aired this reporting, but we never heard back. We reached out again this week, and the press secretary for the Florida Department of Health responded by calling our request for comment, quote, cute. That was an actual quote. Quote, thanks for reaching out to ask about this unsubstantiated conspiracy theory. It's cute that you're asking for comment. This is a state government. We then also heard from the communications director at the Florida Department of Health. He confirmed that Dr. Latipo did not treat COVID patients during much of 2020 when UCLA was running a COVID ward, but he claimed that Dr. Latipo must have treated patients prior to and also after that period. He told us, quote, I'm sure you can find documents that prove that. If you're finding other documents to promote your narrative, listen, we're not trying to find documents to promote a narrative. We're trying to figure out if the guy was telling the truth. And the thing is, we did try very hard to get hold of any documents that would prove that Dr. Latipo treated COVID patients at UCLA, particularly given the word from other doctors who actually did treat patients at UCLA that he was never among them and they never saw him. We have tried to find documents that would indicate that Dr. Latipo did treat COVID patients at UCLA. We cannot find any such documents. Neither Dr. Latipo nor the Florida Department of Health has provided any such documents in response to our requests. And in all the existing records that we can find indicate lots and lots of other doctors treating COVID patients at UCLA's hospital, but not him. One other thing to know about Dr. Latipo is that he has not actually yet been confirmed in this post as Florida's Surgeon General. Governor DeSantis put him up for the job months ago, and he's been essentially functioning as Florida's Surgeon General for the last several months, but he does ultimately have to be confirmed by the state Senate in Florida. Yesterday, he appeared before the Florida Senate for his confirmation hearing, and it was something.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Dr. Latipo, for being with us today. Do you believe vaccines work?
You're recognized for a series of answers.
Thank you, Senator.
I consider vaccines in the same way that I consider other medical therapies. What we care about clinically is whether they are safe and effective. And that is the lens through which I evaluate all medical therapies.
Do you believe that vaccines in fighting against a pandemic like COVID-19 are effective?
You recognize? Thank you for your question, Senator. So, again, I would say that the question is a scientific one, and it's one that is answered with data. So, the question is informed by data on, you know, on specific outcomes and specific therapies. So that's the scientific question.
Mr. Chair, just a couple more follow-ups. Just a yes or no. Do vaccines work in fighting against COVID-19? Yes or no?
You recognize. Senator, as a scientist, you know, I am compelled to answer the scientific question. And I'd be happy to answer any specific scientific question that you have related to vaccines and COVID-19.
Scientifically, do the vaccines work against preventing COVID-19? Yes or no?
Recognize. Okay. Well, thank you again, Senator. So, you know, yes or no questions are not that that easy to find in science.
That's the Democratic leader of the Florida State Senate, Senator Lauren Book, struggling valiantly to try to get an answer out of Governor Ron DeSantis' hand-picked Surgeon General for the state of Florida. Senator Book and her Democratic colleagues ultimately got up and walked out of that hearing, saying that they were fed up with Dr. Latipo's refusal to offer any answers to any questions. After that confirmation hearing, the Florida Sun Sentinel published this response from the paper's editorial board. Quote, Joseph Latipo and his contrived evasiveness must go. Quote, Dr. Joseph Latipo is an expert, all right. He's masterful at dodging questions, insulting the intelligence of Floridians, and avoiding straight talk about the need to be vaccinated against COVID-19. I'm married to data, Latipo told senators. The reality is that he's married to Governor DeSantis' agenda to politicize the pandemic. The doctor does not deserve to be confirmed as Surgeon General, especially now that he has shown that he has so little respect for the people of Florida that he wouldn't give them straight answers through their senators. I mean, there are a lot of debates around the COVID-19 pandemic and our response to it and effective policies and right. And some of those debates are absolutely worthwhile. It is, after all, a novel coronavirus. And so therefore, we learn more about it scientifically as we move on in time and we live with it for longer. Some of those debates are absolutely worthwhile, but some of them are ridiculous. And on the question of do the vaccines work, I don't know, seniors who are vaxxed are 50 times less likely to be hospitalized with COVID than seniors who aren't? 50 times? That's not statistically significant enough for you? I mean, not to be weird, but even Donald Trump says the vaccines work. The vaccines work. But the Surgeon General of Florida cannot bring himself to say that. That is apparently a bridge too far for that state's top doctor. Somebody should maybe check in with him about where he thinks ovarian cysts come from. But, you know, it's possible that all of this goes some way toward explaining the latest sort of COVID-related insanity coming from Florida's government. And the way that Republican politics go right now, things that originate in Florida's Republican government with Governor Ron DeSantis have a way of spreading around the world, spreading to other Republican states. And so it's worth noting this controversy over his top health official. It's also worth noting and watching out for other states to emulate Governor DeSantis on what happened there this week. This week, Governor DeSantis unleashed this furious tirade against the Biden administration, blasting President Biden and the administration for stopping shipments of two monoclonal antibody treatments for COVID. Governor DeSantis called that a sudden and reckless decision and accused the Biden administration of basically killing people, blocking life-saving treatments. He said he's going to fight back against this decision. What is so strange about this explosion of rage from Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, is that the reason the federal government stopped sending those two particular monoclonal antibody treatments to Florida and all the other states in the country is that those two monoclonal antibodies do not work against the Omicron variant. Those two monoclonal antibodies have been a fantastic treatment for previous variants of COVID. They have saved lots and lots of lives, but they do not work against Omicron. Omicron is mutated in such a way that it is not susceptible to those treatments. The drug makers themselves say they have done the tests, and those monoclonal antibody treatments don't work against Omicron, and Omicron now makes up 99% of new cases of COVID across the country, including Florida. You do not have to be a chemist to understand this. I mean, again, this is a simple thing. Antibody drugs formulated with specificity to respond to this coronavirus, the newer mutation of the virus, the one that's 99% prevalent in the United States right now, that new mutation is not susceptible to these treatments from these two companies. It is not that hard to understand. If you are 4 years old and listening to me right now, you probably understand what I just said. There is one monoclonal antibody from GlaxoSmithKline that does still work against Omicron. That drug is unfortunately in very short supply right now, and they're struggling to make more of it as fast as they can. But from those other two companies, from Regeneron and Eli Lilly, their antibody treatments, while they worked on earlier iterations of the coronavirus, they do not work on the current one. Again, this is easy. This is not even like math. This is like counting on your fingers territory. But in Florida, they apparently cannot get that. Even before today, all this month, Governor Ron DeSantis has been on this kick about how many antibody treatment centers he's opened and how many doses of Regeneron, the one that doesn't work against Omicron, how many doses of Regeneron he has managed to secure for Floridians and how the Biden administration hasn't been sending enough and he's demanding more. He has been doing this even though it has been clear for weeks now that these treatments don't work against the Omicron variant and the Omicron variant has taken over. A week ago, the Daily Beast summed it up with this accurate headline: Ron DeSantis opens antibody centers that are useless against Omicron. And Governor DeSantis' Surgeon General, Joseph Latipo, has chimed in too, saying we should not just listen to people labeled as experts on these matters. He says he will personally continue using those antibody treatments on patients with Omicron, even though they are proven not to work against Omicron. Because, you know, it works so well with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and I don't know what the antidote is to sex with demons, but I'm sure we've nipped that in the bud now. It is such a weird fight to pick right now in Florida. Under the leadership of Ron DeSantis and Joe Latipo, Florida is insisting that as a state government, they're going to do nothing to mitigate the spread of COVID whatsoever. And worse than that, they will continue to spread doubt and misinformation about both vaccines and masks. But they also insist they must be allowed to continue to give people monoclonal antibodies that literally do not work against the Omicron variant, which is COVID now. We are 2 years into this pandemic. This is what passes for pandemic policy in our third most populous state. And as I said, Republican politics are in such a state right now that what happens in Florida tends to spread to other red states as soon as it gets featured on Fox News or whatever. Dr. Latipo's confirmation process to become officially the Surgeon General of Florida, it is still not complete in Florida. He's due before the Ethics Committee in the state legislature there as early as next week. Perhaps at that next round of confirmation hearing, somebody will ask him about his nonsensical claims about monoclonal antibodies. Perhaps somebody will ask him about his claims of treating COVID patients when it appears he had not. Maybe that will pop the bubble here. Don't hold your breath. The first summer in which we were dealing with the ravages of the COVID epidemic. In a sort of press conference stunt, the summer of 2020, a bunch of people got up on the steps of the United States Supreme Court and they gave a press conference. They wore white doctor's coats. The coats all had embroidered on them a little logo, America's Frontline Doctors. The point of that stunt that day was to tell the American people from this sort of official-looking group, or at least sort of medical-looking group, that actually COVID is no big deal. You definitely don't need to stay socially distanced from anybody else. Businesses don't need to close. Schools don't need to close. Nobody needs to make any accommodation in their lives for it. You definitely don't need to wear a mask. None of those things will keep you from getting COVID. Everybody is lying to you, and they tell you that those things will abate the risk of COVID. And besides, even if you do get COVID, it's no big deal because secretly, the government doesn't want you to know this, but there's a cure for COVID. Just take this anti-malaria drug, hydroxychloroquine, and maybe also some zinc, and that's the cure. The government doesn't want you to know there's a cure. The whole COVID thing is a hoax. Don't be a sheeple, people. It's all fine.
Okay. Don't be a fool, people. It's a hoax. Okay. I don't know why it bent around. This is not really that big a thing. I don't know what happened, why it was playing back around, but it was. Anyway, what I meant to say is that there are so many people out there who are trying. They saw what Trump did. That he lied to the people, this big lie. He made the biggest lie up in the entire world, and people believed because it was so big. They believed it. I mean, people will believe almost anything if you tell them. So what Ron DeSantis is doing, he said, you know, if he can tell a lie, why can't I tell a lie on the lie? And make the lie even more outrageous. That's what he's doing. And the people down there in Florida, I'm going to call my wife's cousin who lives down there with his family and see what they think about it. I know he thinks about him. I've heard about him telling me before. He's an ass. That's what he says. He has no black people following him around. Only people he pays. Here's the problem. You tell a lie, and then you tell a bigger lie. Every time you say something, it's got to be a bigger lie. Because when you tell a big lie, it's very difficult for changing it. Very difficult. You can't change it. You can't change the big lie. It's impossible. Now, Ari Melba, and I don't know if we have enough, but we might have time to finish this, Ari Melba. This is what Ari Melba says about this. This is what he's saying. Listen to this.
Now to our special report on one of the most vexing challenges for Democrats in modern Washington and for President Biden. How do you deal with Fox News? The answer is actually complicated and exposes some of the debates on the left over whether to engage or fight an influential network that shapes so much political discourse, the right-wing opposition, and has been busted and sued over its rampant misinformation. Because here's the thing. While some progressives argue that establishment Democrats, and sometimes Biden and Obama, basically, they argue, have fallen into traps and misfires on this very issue. And they've undermined their own interests. For example, Fox draws influence from the perception that it is basically a news organization, like the AP or ABC News, when in reality, there has been evidence for years which shows Fox routinely broadcasts misleading and false information, which is different than most news organizations. More on the details of that in a moment, but if you're on the receiving end of that misinformation, if it's designed to take you down, you wouldn't want people to just take at face value the Fox materials they're getting, treat it as if it's totally comparable to any other channel, like an ABC or NBC or what you're watching, MSNBC. Now, what I just said does sound obvious, but at that big press conference President Biden just had, he casually propped up and legitimized Fox News by likening it to just another news channel.
The American public of China sift their way through what's real and what's fake. The choice of what political coverage the voter looks to has as much impact on what they believe. They go to get reinforced in their views, whether it's MSNBC or whether it's Fox.
That was the press conference by Joe Biden just last week, and it's not just him. Other top Democrats have used their megaphone to push virtually the exact same equivalence. Let me show you a perplexing riff from Barack Obama where he basically used that same sentence structure, treating Fox and Rush Limbaugh, which talked up racist birtherism against him, as just part of a larger media polarization.
There are a couple of things that, in my mind at least, contribute to our politics being more polarized than people actually are. The balkanization of the media means that we just don't have a common place where we get common facts and a common worldview the way we did 20, 30 years ago. And that just keeps on accelerating. I'm not the first to observe this, but yeah, you've got the Fox News, Rush Limbaugh folks, and then you've got the MSNBC folks.
The way he puts it, his assertion is all those different folks can't agree on common facts. That's a false equivalence. You're witnessing the most powerful Democrats minimizing Fox's factual problems, which are different than, say, observing that there is opinion media out there. It weirdly legitimizes Fox News through that false equivalence. It's, you know, just one more polarized source. Now, is this the whole story? Is this public concern about polarization in general a kind of political signal, perhaps, to swing voters and others, a quick way for someone like a Biden or an Obama to argue they're above the fray? Or does Joe Biden really believe this about Fox? Does he really believe that its most viewed anchors like Tucker Carlson and his reporters are just one more comparable source on a polarized spectrum? And will we ever know? I mean, we can't read minds, right? But we can hear hot mics, which is why this story tonight is actually extra interesting, because on hot mics, of course, the mic catches something that a speaker meant to be private. And that's what happened to Joe Biden at the same presser where I showed you him making those remarks after getting a question from a Fox News reporter, whom he later called after the hot mic moment to try to make it right.
Do you think it's like a political alliance?
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch.
Stupid son of a bitch. Mr. Unity strikes again.
Within about an hour of that exchange, he called my cell phone, and he said, it's nothing personal, pal.
Did he apologize?
He cleared the air, and I appreciate it. We had a nice call.
Jeez, that's not an answer. Did he apologize? That doesn't sound like an apology.
He said, it's nothing personal, pal. I told him that I appreciated him reaching out. Now, this whole exchange can play as something small, a gaffe over language, but as I just showed you, it's actually perhaps a window into Biden's private thinking. That maybe he actually thinks Fox is not the same, which is why he had those harsh words, but he has other reasons to echo a kind of conventional wisdom here. And this is a common refrain from certain voices. Take Bill Maher, who's often on the left on many issues. He had once said MSNBC's coverage of Chris Christie meant that it was time to look at yourself, MSNBC. You're turning into Fox News. Bridgegate has become your Benghazi. So this conventionalism keeps on cropping up. And yes, full disclosure, this is an MSNBC segment about the topic. But other independent journalists have roundly rejected that kind of claim. The Washington Post said Bill Maher misfires on saying MSNBC equals Fox. They went into the facts, noting that key Fox claims about Benghazi faced a punishing year and a half of challenge and debunkment, so the story itself was off base, while writing that MSNBC reporting on Bridgegate used on-the-record allegations of public officials, a core journalistic responsibility. And that's the point. This stuff matters. It affects politics and democracy. And I'm not here tonight to tell you what we think of our own work at this channel, and that wouldn't be evidence. I am here to report that this Biden-Obama-Maher equivalence does falter in the face of actual independent reporting. Take independent researchers. They found Fox is so routinely misleading that just watching it would make you less informed. And not just on hot political topics or your views of, say, Donald Trump. Fox viewers actually accept falsehoods about COVID more than people who got their news from literally anywhere else. I wonder why.
Unless you have a an immune system that's compromised, and you are older, and you have other underlying health issues, you are not going to die 99% from this virus.
The experts still think that parents should trust them and inject their kids with an experimental drug.
These are, after all, experimental drugs, and they're behaving like it.
The Cleveland Clinic said that if you had COVID-19, you don't need any vaccine.
No one should get boosted. No one should get double boosted. They are a dangerous and ineffective product.
So maybe it doesn't work, and they're simply not telling you that. We picked those misleading claims precisely because they're not even about politicians, and because this is much larger than one media company and another, which is kind of how Biden put it, or me talking about somebody across the street. We are talking about information that affects what happens to people, including their own viewers, whether they get sick or potentially die in ways they didn't have to. Those were misleading claims pushed over and over, and recent studies found that kind of repetition made those Fox viewers more likely to be misinformed and act in ways that were dangerous to themselves and worse than the pandemic. Or take the science about human activities making the Earth warmer. We know that it is. But if you watched Fox regularly, you might not, because about half of Fox viewers falsely think the Earth is just getting warmer by itself.
They want you to be really afraid of climate change.
Climate change, they said, caused these fires. They didn't explain how exactly that happened,
using the deadly tornado tragedy across the Midwest to push their far-left climate alarmism agenda.
We're not seeing any significant increase in extreme weather events affecting people's lives.
The severity has been on the decline.
I think it was one of the coldest Julys we've had in some while. I don't know if that's going to really fly with climate change.
Global cooling.
Right, global cooling. Climate change panic is so overblown that it is hyperbolic and silly.
Kids have a lot of things to worry about. Climate change should not be one of them.
Fox has been doing this for years in a way that is fundamentally different from other media and other even opinionated media. Now, there were those public service announcements that said, the more you know, remember that? Well, back in 2012, this is a while back, a study showed Fox viewers were also less informed than people who literally said they consumed no news at all. Think about that. You spend your time watching something called Fox News, and you end up statistically less informed than people who don't watch the news, period. This is not journalism, what they're doing, what those results show. It's different than most other outlets. Take the Independent Pointer Institute, which found Fox and MSNBC were not the same thing. While both did have strong viewpoints, it was Fox that spun its own reality. And many media outlets do face all kinds of lawsuits. We report on them. Fox, though, tends to lose or settle quite a bit of their lawsuits. They had to settle with the family of a former Democratic operative, Seth Rich, because they had falsely linked him to a WikiLeaks email dump and falsely suggested that somehow Democrats or the Clintons' leaks would have been linked to that tragic death. It's a specific example. I'm sure it was, based on what we've learned, horrific for the family, and it was false enough that they had to settle the case. At other times, Fox's falsehoods affect the entire republic we're living through and its problems. There were a lot of misleading suggestions about that 2020 election, even though the network's own decision desk counted up what everyone else found, the ballots that Biden won.
Some of the most brazen acts of voter fraud to date. There actually is evidence of fraud.
Sworn affidavits saying people are forging signatures.
Oh. Tampering allegations to the dead people voting.
How many dead people voted?
Interesting stories about dead people voting. Wow, amazing. What free and fair elections we all have confidence in.
It's a corrupt, stolen election.
The election was stolen from the president.
Another independent study found Fox cast doubt on the results about 800 times they counted just in 2 weeks after the election. So that affects Fox viewers as well. A poll found 82% of Fox viewers falsely and wrongly believed Trump won, that may be a contribution of both Trump's statements, the Republican Party, and Fox itself. Dominion Voting Systems is currently suing Fox for defamation because it says many guests were allowed to repeat blatantly false claims attacking their voting machines. This is not about opinion, which, as a free speech person and a former First Amendment practicing lawyer, I will defend, including their opinions. This is about an entity that has news in the title but continues to make demonstrably false claims about all these issues. We've covered the COVID angle before, and that is a danger to Fox viewers. People who don't watch Fox at all may have better information. When we report on that, we report on it because it's important, and also out of direct concern about how a company that has its own vaccine policies and uses a lot of CDC-style rules to keep its own workers safe is telling its viewers false things that might endanger them. And yet, we turn back to the news hook, as we call it in our business, of what Joe Biden was talking about, why so many powerful Democrats would seem to give Fox cover with that equivalence, even though its own viewers are more susceptible to believing false theories on all sorts of issues, including the January 6th insurrection. I should note there is a wider debate in the Democratic Party, which did ultimately reject Fox as a debate host in 2020 after having previously given the channel that honor to navigate and referee Democratic Party debates in previous cycles. This is a debate within the party. There are Democrats who either truly believe or seem to accept the conventional wisdom that Fox is like other media, or maybe they're trying to score some sort of centrist points by saying that. And then there are others, including what we see in a newer generation, that's so concerned about the cost, real world, of this propaganda that they see Fox and some other right-wing media as far more sinister. Take the Queensbridge artist Nas, who wrote a whole song warning about this channel, lamenting, quote, "Sly Fox, Cyclops, locked in an idiot box. What's a Fox characteristic? Censored misinformation, overstimulation." And Nas's advice was, with Fox feeding us toxins, quote, "You better watch what you're watching." It's an interesting take from an artist who was clearly concerned about what he called Fox propaganda. Now, people can decide for themselves whether they agree more with that or with this recurring equivalence of two presidents.
You've got the Fox News Rush Limbaugh folks, and then you've got the MSNBC folks.
The choice of what political coverage a voter looks to has as much impact on what they believe, whether it's MSNBC or whether it's Fox.
Why do top Democrats draw this false equivalency? Does it bolster Fox's credibility? And is it something that the party should have further debate on?
Well, okay. That was part of what I want you guys to hear. This is information that you people that are listening to Fox never know, because you don't hear enough of it. And I was going to go into about the electors. Well, we're going to have to go into the electors next time. But I'm telling you, the GO state chair of Arizona, she's in deep doo-doo, deep trouble. She's in deep trouble. Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, Clause 2 says each state. Shall appoint in a manner such as the electors thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled to in the Congress. But no senator or representative or person holding an office of or profit of the United States shall be appointed as an elector. Now, we need to go into this more definite and more deep, and we don't have time now, but we will go into it in a lot more depth next time we are here. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Have a great weekend. This is Mike Lawson signing off for the last word. Okay, everybody. I will see you more. Okay, guys. Goodbye.